So let's review. Zak the Mishnah, Kainim Peris Ha'elo Alai, Kainim Hein Alpi, Kainim Hein Lafi. If someone made a neder forbidding these specific fruits, Asu Bechilum Fein or Begidulein, he may not benefit from an item exchange for them or from their growths. Even though the chilufin of Nedarim are usually mutter, with the possible exception of the machlef himself, as Rami Bar Chama debated earlier on Daf Mem Zayin, we give these fruits the status of hektish, whose exchanges and growths are aser. Since he named specific items in his neder, we assume he wanted to assign them a special status, not just to forbid them. However, shani oichel v'shani tayem mutter bechilufin ubegidulein. If he specifies that only eating or tasting the fruit should be aser, he may benefit from the exchanges and growths. Even though we learned on Daf Nun Beis that this might be a more inclusive nether, forbidding the products of the fruits as well, we are still more lenient than in the previous case, since he explicitly limited the nether in this way. However, B'davar Shazari Kala, the above distinction regarding Gidulein applies only to a plant whose seeds decompose before growing and the original Isser is no longer intact. Therefore, Gidulein are generally mutter, except when he says Peirus Elu, they are aser because he explicitly included them in the neder. Aval b'davar se'ein zare kalo, afila gidule gidulin asrun. If the iser is ein zare kalo, the roots that do not decompose, such as the bulb of an onion, the growths, and even the growths of those growths, would be aser, since they contain within them the original forbidden item. The Gemara Daf Nun Tes will explain why the original iser does not become batal. The Mishnah continues with a similar case. If someone forbid himself to benefit from his wife's handiwork, here too, the exchanges and growths are aser, because the neder is on a specific item, namely the work of a particular person. However, even though the neder was made on a specific item, the exchanges and growths are mutter, since he clearly limited the neder to eating or tasting this fruit. And here too, we are only speaking medavash zarekala, avadavash ein zarekala, afila gidule gidulin asurun. The Mishnah continues, Shat oise eini oichel ar ha-pesach, shat oise eini miskasa ar ha-pesach. If a husband made a neder, not to eat or wear until Pesach, anything his wife produces, asa salafnei ha-pesach, mutu lechol uliskasas achar ha-pesach, he may eat and wear these items after Pesach. The Ran explains the Mishnah teaches us that the words Ara Pesach are referring to the words Eini Oichel, as follows. Sha'at Oise Eini Oichel Ara Pesach, because the words Ara Pesach follow immediately after the words Eini Oichel, limiting the time period when the Isra of the Neder should be in effect. And we do not interpret the words Ara Pesach to be referring to Sha'at Oise, as if he would have said Sha'at Oise Ara Pesach Eini Oichel, anything you produce until Pesach is asur li'olam indefinitely. However, where he says shat oisa ara Pesach in the oichel, shat oisa ara Pesach in the miskasa, asur lafnei Pesach, asur lechol uliskasas archa Pesach, he may not eat or wear after Pesach anything that she made before Pesach, because here the words ara Pesach follow immediately after, and therefore unmistakably refer to the word shat oisa, by which he explicitly stated that whatever his wife makes before Pesach shall become aser indefinitely. The Mishnah continues with a similar halacha. Shat nenes li ara Pesach, imoy lechet at lebeis avich adachag. If he forbids his wife to benefit from him until Pesach, with a tznai, a condition, if she goes to our father's home anytime until Sukkot, halchel lefnei Pesach, asur ba'nosi ara Pesach. If she went sometime before Pesach, the neder takes effect, and she is aser mideraisa to benefit from him until Pesach. La'achra Pesach, Babal Yachl. She went after Pesach, after having benefited from him before Pesach, she's in violation of the law, because by going to her father's house after Pesach, she retroactively activated the neder of before Pesach. The Gemara Daf Tezvah points out that our Mishnah is only discussing Midai Raisa, that only after the Tanai of Holcha was fulfilled does the neder of Asur Bahanose take effect. But the Mishnah seems to imply that before the Tanai of Holcha was fulfilled, if she did not yet go to her father's house, she is not asur b'hanasai, she is not forbidden to benefit from him. This is indeed true midiraisa. However, midirabanan, there is a machlokes. Rav Yehuda holds that even before the Tanai of Holcha was fulfilled, she is asur b'hanasai midirabanan, because le mizdar b'tzna, a person is not as cautious about avoiding a condition as with the actual neder. She is therefore forbidden to violate the neder because we're concerned that she may later violate the condition as well, retroactively activating the neder. However, Rav Nachman holds that before the Tanai of Holcha was fulfilled, she is muteres ba'nasa, even midrabanan, because mizdar b'tzna, she will be careful not to go to her father's house until Sukkot. The Mishnah concludes, Shat nenesli ad ha'chag, imay lachas at lebeis avich ad ha'pesach. If the neder forbids her to benefit from him until Sukkot, if she goes to her father's home before Pesach, Holcha lefnei ha'pesach, asur ba'nasa ad ha'chag, umuteres leilach ad ha'pesach. Going before Pesach would activate the neder, forbidding her to benefit from him until Sukkot, but she is free to go to her father's home after Pesach because the Tanai was only until Pesach. The Gemara now begins a lengthy discussion about Gidulin, the status of the growths of an Isser that were mentioned in our Mishnah. However, only later in Daf Nun Tes does the Gemara directly relate it to our Mishnah. The Gemara asks, B'tzal she'okra b'shvias, v'neto b'shminas, v'rabu gidulav ali kare. An onion that was harvested during Shemitah, and therefore has Kedusha Shvius, was replanted the next year, and its growth of the eighth year is far greater than the size of the original bulb. Kiduli hetter malanesa iser oiloi. Does the permitted growth nullify the original iser or not? The Ran explains that the question is actually about the status of the growths themselves. As mentioned in the Mishnah, we're discussing an onion which is ein zarikala, the bulb remains. Therefore, the question is, are the gidulin aser, because they are considered an extension of the original and therefore retain the halach of the original Isser, or Gedulin Mutter, because they acquire their own distinct identity? However, the two questions are actually interdependent. If the growths are Mutter, it is because they are a separate entity, and if so, they have the ability to nullify the Isser. Although we generally follow the Ran, we'll just mention that Taisvis Baharosh learned that the Gedulin are certainly Mutter, and the question is only about Bittel, as the Lashon HaGemara indicates, whether the Gidulei Heter Mal Nasa Isser Oiloi. The Gemara quotes statements of various Amiram supporting either side of this question. Rabbi Yannai rules regarding Truma, Asu Gidulin Umavatlin Iker, while Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yonason rule regarding Arulo B'Kala HaKerem, Loi Asu Gidulin Umavatlin Iker. Although the Gemara cites a ruling of Rabbi Yechon regarding Truma, Litra B'Tzalim Shetikno V'Zara Misaseres Lefikula, if after separating Trumas and Maestras, one replants onions, he must separate Trumas and Maestras anew from the entire crop. However, this does not prove Aser Gedulin Umavatlin Iker, because Dilma L'Chomer Shani. Perhaps only in the case of Trumas and Maestras does Rabbi Yechonon rule stringently to treat all the onions as Tevel based on Aser Gedulin Umavatlin Iker. But for Kula, to be Matra and Isser, such as Arlo V'Kla HaKerem and Shvias, Rabbi Yechonon rules Loi Aser Gedulin Umavatlin Iker. This discussion continues in the next daf.